Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Great Connect podcast. I'm Carrie Allen, host and founder of The Human Array. And today I am joined by Lillian Murray, who is a life and health coach here to support you in navigating this crazy journey we are all on. And so, Lillian, welcome. So excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. I love talking to you, Carrie.
Thanks for having me. Yes, absolutely. Well, as we've talked about this conversation, I recalled and just went back to that moment when we first connected, and you were so supportive and continue to be to this day, of course, of me as a parent. And what I would love to dig into today with you is just the challenging world that we live in as parents, grandparents, just thinking about how do we support ourselves as we are complex beings. And you were an important resource for me at various different junctures of just allowing me to feel seen and providing ideas and suggestions of things for me to explore so that I could figure out what was the best fit for me. So one, thank you for being that person for me. And two, let's talk about how ridiculous it is to be a parent.
And let's get right funny now. Because we're not supposed to get emotional. And that was so sweet. And thank you and well received. Thank you. Because there's nothing better than having that connection with someone truly that's as curious and loving and completely open. And I feel like that about you, Carrie. Like I always felt you were always very easy to talk to, and you were so forthcoming with how challenging it is to raise kids. And especially with, like we always talk about, like these kids are coming in strong, stronger than we were. And that's the whole part, right? Is being completely ready to let's do this together. without so much sometimes without I don't know how you were raised, but you know, sometimes we weren't heard as much. So really listening to these kids is where I feel like I'm learning a lot to do more of, especially with my grandchildren. It's like I feel like I have a little bit of a second chance, but they have so many messages for us. I'm back from a generation where we were not, don't talk about that. Don't ask those questions. You're going to get in trouble.
It is
an interesting time.
It is. It's always enjoyable hearing from you in that way because of the grandparenting lens in which you bring. One, you're very open and honest about your own parenting, but then actually seeing your grandchildren as that second chance or that continued learning experience. Yes. For me, it's really beneficial to hear somebody who has moved through more stages than me allowing still that transformation and that knowledge growth to happen. Why do you feel, to me, honestly, I'm like, you have young kids because you're so connected to your grandkids in that way. Where do you think that comes from for you?
Oh, I love that question. Well, watching my son be a father has just completely, I don't know how else to say it, just shifted, changed, rocked my world, because I had him very young. I was 21 and college student. And I feel like I've been growing up with him, but I've been much more, just so much more present watching him, and also having the communication with him and the respect that I have for him. I feel like that has helped a lot, where I'm a much better listener this time around. I was in survival mode a lot of the time with my boys. And they're 6 years apart, and so many lessons in between. But, you know, your question was, what the difference is that what the question was?
I think, you know, there are a couple of key words that you said to me there, which is, your respect for your son.
Oh, and so much.
Ability to, I think we're in a tough moment from a parent, grandparent transition of all these generations.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily a word I feel like I hear all the time from a grandparent.
Or awareness, what that really meant. You know, he's 35 and his wife, they're both 35. Incredible. That they are also, for lack of a better word, they're just so trusting of their intuition, which I don't think I was at the time. So watching them really lean into that intuitive and maybe saying no a lot to things that they don't feel comfortable with, where I came from a place where I'm like, well, they know more, you know, that doctor knows more, that teacher knows more, that therapist knows more. I was very, and to watch them really at this age, at 35, I was not like that.
Yeah.
At 35, I was not as intuitive. It was there. And now that I've done so much, also reparenting, not because my parents weren't incredible people, but were, I think reparenting means a totally different thing. Well, to some people, but for me, it meant really going back to what was I really like as a child, and watching and playing with my grandchildren and seeing myself in them as children, and seeing how my kids are allowing so much of it and embracing it and nurturing it with, you know, with a lot less rules. And it's okay, but at the same time with beautiful boundaries, you know, and nurturing that and letting that curiosity really continue to just spark and shine. And it's not that they don't get frustrated, because I still hear it, but when I hear myself talking to my kids, my son or my daughter-in-law about, wow, I wish I told myself that years ago, but they're teaching me. It's not that I'm teaching them, just being able to be very present and really watch how they're parenting right now and allowing more conversation and communication. Mm-hmm. I love that they still do dinner every night and there's a lot of conversation, and the kids are 9, 5, and 2, and they're not on screens, which has been something that I did use screens. I used TV to babysit while I was cooking dinner. We used TV, and not totally against it, but they are just so much more responsible. As far as, I grew up in a house with every room had a TV, because it was so exciting to have a TV. And I don't blame my parents. They're like, we didn't have TV, or we didn't have color. So, you know, it's all, but it's interesting to see what it does to the brain. And that's what I'm just fascinated with. They just, they're thriving, and I'm just so proud of them.
I can feel that.
Yeah, I'm so proud of them. And And I'm glad to be here and witness it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not everyone gets that opportunity. So I'm so fortunate. And every day I'm very grateful for having this chapter of my life of grandparenting. It's definitely a blessed time of my life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
One of the other things you said that really struck a chord for me is, you know, you had to manage through a lot of survival mode. And I think that really hits home with a lot of parents today. And life is very full. There's a lot happening in the world. And sometimes we can feel like we're very much in survival mode. What do you think it was for you, as you can now look back with beautiful hindsight and say, how did you start to shift yourself out of that? Or did you, or kind of what, how would you reflect on that and your ability to start to move into a new way now?
Right. I love that. My big shift was probably with my second son, where nothing was really my oldest. It was pretty easy. And he was such a textbook child, did everything, all the development and everything I read. And back then it was Dr. Spock. And, you know, and I was my background's in early childhood development. So he was like, oh, every, you know, and I was teaching. But my second son was born, and I was induced, and I went through all the things that against my grain. I can remember thinking, this doesn't feel right. He was at the end of December, and I felt like the doctor was rushing, needing me to force him out December 28th because he had things to do. But in hindsight, looking back, the stress I had with even just giving birth, and none of my plan, because I was anti-medicine, none of my plan. I didn't want to be induced. Didn't want any pain meds, which I did still refuse. But it was such a hard recovery, and not to bring up the whole birth story, but what a difference when I knew, even at 26 or 27, I was with him, that I had learned enough, in those years having my other son, that my body was already changing. And I wasn't listening to it. And I would get feelings that this wasn't right, but I went ahead, kind of like what I talked before, you just do what, and I just was on the fringe of already wanting to do things a little bit more naturally, and it wasn't as easy. And I felt like I was fighting. I was even going back and forth with, the pediatrician at that time, because he slept the first 3 weeks and I didn't feel like that was normal.
Yeah.
So, I just wasn't heard. So things started shifting. And that is when I started researching a little bit more about, just when my grandparents were around and what it was like, what were they eating? None of this. I had horrible postpartum, and everyone wanted to give me medicine. And I just remember, and I didn't have any friends that were having kids yet. They were just starting to get married because I was young. So I really didn't have anyone to bounce around except, and God bless my parents, I love them, but call the doctor, call the doctor, call the doctor. And it just didn't feel right to me anymore. So that is really where it shifted, where I felt like I was on the fringe of that natural, you know, I want to listen to the doctor, but I really felt like I think I deserve a little bit more attention. And so does my son, and he shouldn't be sleeping for 3 weeks. Right. Like, I couldn't wake him up to eat or anything. It was really interesting. So I was, I'll never forget, the pediatrician said to me, and I'll never forget, he's like, well, you're Cuban. I'm first generation born here, but you know, your family there, I understand it can be, everyone has high expectations. You're just expecting too much. Stop being dramatic. And that was all he needed to say to me. And that's okay that he did. It was such a great lesson. I'm like, oh, I am so not dramatic. I am going to get to to parent this into, you know, that's when I started going into a lot of holistic health, to be honest, and looking for different ways. And Nicholas continued throughout school, and everything was always out of the box. Yeah. So having a child with so many different labels and slow, he's just taking his time. He didn't even want to come out when it was his time. We had to, and I'm looking at him like, well, why did we have to force him out? Maybe the turkey wasn't done. Like, I started questioning that.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not done. He wasn't ready. We, you know, it wasn't his time. We forced him out. And so I sat in that a lot. And I didn't think I wanted to really talk about this as much as what a big shift that was for me to really sit and be with something just didn't feel, it wasn't a joyful time for me.
Yeah.
Which the first one was. Yeah. And I didn't expect it to be perfect, but that was my first at 26, 27, where I felt more stress than I had ever. I hadn't really been a stressed out kind of, I had more anxiety than ever, depression, a lot of feelings that I needed to feel, but I didn't have the support.
Yeah.
So that's really where this is in my hands. And I had a very supportive husband. He worked so much that he's like, whatever you need, I'll provide. So, you know, financially, and I had to really go outside of the norm and sometimes even go into debt, finding people that would really listen to me and help me, just help me help myself, you know, and listen to me. But the community back, the holistic health community back then, and I hope it's okay that I bring up holistic health community since I'm in such good company here in the human array. It was just on, again, I keep using the word fringe. It was just kind of there, but no one really wanted to talk about it. There were midwives and doulas, but they were kind of woo-woo and they were at an hour and a half, 2 hours away. Wow. And I'm in South Florida and I would think that I'd have more resources than that, but there weren't that many resources back then. There were midwives, but not maybe helping a young mother kind of without medication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel so strongly about just having all the options.
Yeah.
You right? know, having just all the options.
Yeah. I mean, what that's what I continue to hear in your story is like, one, how important it is to feel seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it doesn't mean that I don't want to see and hear all the perspectives, but I want to hear all of them, not be kind of pushed down one specific path. And I love how you said about kind of, you know, starting to, I was ignoring my body. Like all of a sudden I can feel this like, dual, like Cruella de Vil, right? Like version,
yes.
which is like, wait a minute, I'm having to do this, but,
yes.
but this feels like something's over here. And how do right. I navigate that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was always called like, you're so rebellious. You've always been so rebellious. And now I totally embrace it. I feel like I'm in, you know, there's so many things that have come back to me that when I was a child going, I'm so glad that I know that about myself now, because now I use it.
Yes.
You know, now I use it. And that's how so many things are being birthed in my life in my 50s, where I feel like, yay, it was worth it. I made it. And now let's do something about it and just be, just help other people honor that, you know, honor that intuitive spirit that we all, it's our birthright, right? We're all born with it, but sometimes you just start to get imprinted and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's really wonderful, but sometimes it can take over what the, what your true essence is. And when you do really big, beautiful things like give birth to babies or, you know, move even to another state. Like it's really important. It shouldn't be, you know, such big stress times in our life to shorten that for people. And that's a, you know, do 20 years of work to kind of unpack things.
Yes.
I kind of am enjoying watching my grandkids and my kids feel like they're taking shortcuts intuitively, and it's giving me a lot of hope that we're shifting, you know, that people are definitely expressing more. And, you know, therapy used to be like, ooh, don't talk about that. And now, you know, I think I know so many kids are like, my therapist says, and they're 7 and 8 years old. And it's just, it needs to be options, yeah. You know, because if there are the, it just can be a radical shift for people.
Yeah.
If they're heard, you know.
Well, and what you're saying, right, is like, why is it rebellious for us to advocate for ourselves? Like, I hear those words and I'm like,
rebel.
Wait, this doesn't feel good and right to me. And I'm speaking up for myself. And the fact that it feels counter.
Yeah.
Why is that rebellious?
Exactly. Exactly. And
I mean, we know why, right? We lived that world where you weren't allowed to feel, you weren't allowed to say the things, ask the questions, etc. And what?
Yeah. And we're definitely, I think we're part of, you know, bridging that alternative conversation, which I'm so happy and proud of. And and that's my goal, is just to be here for the integration. Right? And it's happening, Carrie.
It's yay. I know. It's so happening.
Because
right?
That's what's going to keep the joy in the center of healing. It doesn't have to be so dreadful, or it doesn't, whatever your situation is, whether you have a, you know, a child that's going through challenges or your parents, like, we shouldn't be burning out and have caregiver fatigue in our 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Yeah.
Or 60s. It's just starting, you know, it's like, I believe that people are doing more of the work because there's more options and they're not afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit on like the thing that I was going to say is that my next question, which is, right, we have this kind of peak adulting moment, if you will, especially when you become a parent and then you have your parents and we're reparenting ourselves. And it's like, oh my gosh.
We talk about that a lot, Carrie. I know.
I know. It's like,
it's the apex, that's for sure.
Right? Like, oh my God, the squeeze. Yeah. It's like coming at me from every angle.
Yeah.
And that's giving me the moment to like make that shift.
Absolutely.
So I know you work with so many different people that are dealing with that apex or whichever one is like very present for them at that moment. How do you see your experience, your story, and the health component of that squeeze actually creating that moment for trusting intuition?
So it's so funny. I love this question too. You always ask such good questions. So I always used to focus on just the kids for the longest time. And of course, with my background, and I taught pre-K for years, and I taught kids yoga, and I was just always dancing around the kids because they definitely were so fearless and they were so honest and easy to work with. For me, easy to work with. Some people say they're hard to work with. I thought kids were cake compared to adults. So so it probably was right before the pandemic, I had this wonderful group of girls that I worked with. I had started a little Stronger Girls Together, which was amazing because there was such a gap with some of the families I worked with of girls between 8 and 12, where there wasn't enough Girl Scout leaders, or they didn't like sports, or there was always a reason, but something like a modern, let's help their confidence. And what I realized with talking with these girls and hearing about their mothers and fathers, because that's what they wanted to talk about. So this wasn't that long ago, 6 years ago, and I did it for a few years, is there was such a lack of, again, bridging that generation of, they just weren't being heard. It was their idea to start a journal with their parents to talk with them because they just felt like their parents were on the phone too much. And I'm not calling it, but it was to hear the wisdom and the honesty. And I believed them. They were at an age where you believe them between 8 and 12, right? Yeah. They were around long enough and they weren't complaining either. It was always out of love. But when you would ask them a simple question, like, what would you like more of? Where some kids would be like, I want more video games, or, you know, you think you're going to get those. Like, I'd love more time with my parents. I just remember that was such a shift for me where I started wanting to include the parents and doing more family coaching. And I had that, I was certified in it, but I wasn't really doing it. I was focusing on the kids a lot. And I really realized how the parents just needed to hear this too. And it was such a touch point. I don't know how else to say it. And after, so then COVID happened and I couldn't see my kids. So we were Zooming for about 8 months until we finally, you know, I live in Florida. So luckily we did have a few schools open early and I would go into the schools and I was doing like brain breaks. We weren't allowed to call it yoga, but we were doing brain breaks. But I started asking the parents if they just wanted to come to my house with the kids, and we can work on skits and we could work on, I always had so many ideas that were just so natural for me because it just, I liked it. You know, I liked having conversation and watching the kids play out scenarios together. And so that started coming in a little bit more, but then I realized I was getting more calls from the parents saying they wanted to talk with me one-on-one. And I really enjoyed that. And I started doing a little bit more of work with the parents, and retreats were coming up. And I was working at a school, at a mindfulness school where they were holding retreats. And just the art of listening was so needed. Not only getting through the pandemic with these kids that were, you know, kind of having a lot of fear, I saw that it was coming from the parents. And it just clicked for me. And of course, it's always an extension. You're always, you know, kids are an extension of their parents, but it was really clear that the kids were really sending a lot of messages and there wasn't a lot of listening. So I started doing my part of the retreats when I would work there, and I brought it back to my house when I worked with a group of small women. We always did the art of deep listening. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, just something that just opened up a lot of doors for a lot of us in conversation. And now I just love working with, I mostly work with women and remind them as they're going through different stages, especially I'm in the postmenopause stage. So I tend to attract 55 and older, but just reminding them too, that we can reparent, we can listen to our grandkids, we can, and if you don't have grandkids, go to the park and enjoy the joy of laughter and watch kids doing risky play again, like we used to do. We used to climb trees, yes. You know, all the things that there's a lot of parents are still not allowing their kids to do, and maybe being that person over there saying, oh, child, climb that tree. If they can climb it, they'll be okay. And being that, you know, I just love encouraging other people to bring that back, you know, to bring back that primal play, because yeah. It means so much. If we're skipping it, then we're getting to a point where we're not communicating, we're not having conversations. And I really got that from that group of girls. Yeah. That I feel like it was such a gift, especially right before the pandemic, because I sat in it a lot and wrote a lot of content in 2020. And I was inspired all from just taking the time with this group of 18 girls.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I had run summer camps and done so many things, but it was always mixed girls and boys and, you know, all different ages. And I always had teenagers that would help me, but to really, you know, like laser focus on conversation, they were my greatest anything, degree, certification, all that went out the door. That was the best learning that I did.
Yeah. And because you had deep listening experiences with them, right?
Exactly.
Right. You have summer camps, you have all these things where it's like activity driven, but we don't take the time to just sit,
right,
conversate, listen, engage. Yeah. You know, I think
that was their favorite. They had to, we always started our days with, they had to pick different partners and talk for 5 minutes each without interrupting. Ooh. And that was like their favorite thing to do. It was so funny. I'm like, wow, I don't even get that kind of attention sometimes from my friends that were like topping each other. My story is more important. It was like, wow, these girls know how to really hold space and really cool. Listen. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's so cool.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, but it was like I had to
No,
such
no.
A great activity that it just blew me away.
And it's so fascinating because it can just be that simple, that it doesn't actually have to be more complicated. We keep trying to make fit more in, make sure there's a schedule that we're doing this to that. And honestly, just the like freedom, yeah. boredom, conversation space is yeah. so necessary and Absolutely. Valuable, right? Like, I love how you're talking about kind of cultivating listening and that joy and playfulness at any age and stage. And, you know, two things came up for me. One is, we weren't modeled listening. It wasn't, I say that, I mean, I think that it was there in some ways, right? Because there were fewer devices and things like that. So, you know, your grandparents came over for a visit and you sat and you visited, but as the child, you didn't really get to speak too much. It wasn't, you know, you were to listen. So we didn't get that modeled for us.
And we were at the kids' table.
Yes. Yeah, I was at the kids' table. Oh, gosh. Yes.
Sorry.
No. I just
no used offense, grandparents. Like, we love you, but.
But you go to the kids' table and you have, I was fortunate because I had cousins, well, fortunate and unfortunate in both ways, which is my cousins were roughly 10 years older than me. Oh, okay. So I did get to sit at the kids' table.
That's a gift with older.
With older.
I need that. Yes.
And at the same time, I was younger. So yeah. I didn't have anybody my age to interact right. with. So I was still always the quiet one because nobody wanted to hear what I had to say.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Yes.
Right? It's just funny. You're unlocking some thoughts for me.
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up because that's what this is, you know.
Yeah.
Telling stories, which is what yes. we need to do. But right. I love that. I love that unlocked. Good awareness.
Yeah, it just unlocked like, because as you were saying that, you know, one of the funny things that always happened, my mom's sister lived in California. And so, you know, we'd talk on the phone every once in a while and she'd call and she'd want to talk to me and hear about things, but I had no idea what to say.
Oh, right?
Right. So she always laughed and said like, it's like pulling teeth to get things out of you. And as you're saying that, I'm like, right. Because I didn't know how to do that. I didn't actually cultivate Bingo. That skill.
Exactly. And that's it right there. And you have to practice. We yeah. didn't have a lot of practice in a lot of things.
Right.
We didn't have the space or it was just, you know.
Yeah. You had to, you were meant to be a listener, not a speaker. And therefore we didn't learn how to actually listen because it wasn't modeled for us. And at the same right. time, we didn't learn how to conversate in a way. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. A whole new.
Yeah. yeah.
I love that. But what I wanted to connect that to is the grandkids and the kids today that are coming in that are pushing us, quite frankly, to be like, yeah, we're done with that. So yeah. I don't care what rules you had before. Those rules don't apply anymore.
Yeah. That's the worst thing you can say to them too. Like, well, when I was young, they're like,
oh, oh yeah. They're like, whatever. I love this. This has come up with my kids at least where I felt like my generation or me in particular always asked, well, why do we do it that way? Even if it wasn't external, right? It was in my head always like, this is how you go to your grandparents. I'm like, why? And good my job, kids, Harry. My kids now say, what if?
Ooh.
And I just think that's-
I love that.
And my husband gets so frustrated because-
You need to write that book, what if?
Oh yeah. My husband gets so frustrated because my son will say like, what if I didn't go today? And mm-hmm. Colin's like, that's not a question. That's a statement. And I'm like,
pretty powerful yeah. one,
but it's a cool one. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is like, I see them ask those questions in ways that, or say that in like, let's play out all the different scenarios. What if this scenario played out? What if that scenario played out? What if, and usually now it's become a running joke in the family that's like, what if frogs had wings? They wouldn't bump their butts when they leaped. It's like, That's true. Yes, that can be that, right?
Do you have that book, If? Sorry, I just brought it up and it's such a great resource. Do you have that book, If?
I don't think so.
Okay. I might have to put it in the link or send it to you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, as far as like, it's, I think kids wrote it. We'll talk about it later, but it's called If. It's like, what if toenails were cat? Just the imagination in it is beautiful. But I just love that you brought that up because my grandkids, it's the one that they, when they come here, they pull it out every time because it's remarkable. But
it taps into that, but you're so right because that taps into that imagination that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I feel like that's us being able to break free of this is how you have a baby. This is how you parent. This is the thing. And instead it's the breaking ability of us to say, okay, how do I tap into my intuition? How do I learn what's true for me? And I'd love for you to kind of take that into like how you see parents being able to keep that alive today in a way that wasn't possible before, not for anybody's fault, but just the world has evolved. And now we're at a place, how do you see that shift happening for kids today that the parents are kind of keeping that if alive?
Right. I love that. Well, I mean, what came right away is play, play, play.
Yeah.
And, you know, and get yourself out. I don't care where you live, even if it's so cold out, but modeling playing with your kids and taking time off from not just the phone, but not bringing so much work home and just really spending time in nature, however you can, because there's just so many things that they notice, that you may not be noticing. So even just, you don't have to be talking or entertaining, just providing the environment, going back to just get it all outside and just being playful. I mean, that is definitely one thing I've noticed with my husband and I, the more that we just leave the phones inside and go outside, even if it's a walk in the rain with these girls, they have such a great time. Any kids do, because they just still haven't, you know, and also just fearing a lot less. There we go. That was one thing that came up because no, we can't go outside because there's lightning. Well, let's go. I mean, sure, there's a danger zone and a safety, but sometimes you can go out and watch some of the lightning and then come back, but talk about it. But just really like there's so much that nature has to teach us, and the fear based parenting has just really taken over.
Yeah.
As you know, and not taken over. It's just always been there. It just the more that we see it in so many different ways, and social media, of course, being one of them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, just unplugging from that, then just blending in more curiosity and your intuition comes because you see that, you know, nature doesn't stop.
Yes.
And the kids will notice, as you know how much we love how just being in nature just can absolutely just recenter everything and just remind you, especially if there's kids around, because they'll notice things and ask questions like, I never knew that answer either, tell me a little bit more. And then like you said, if you ask them, they might be right, you know, I don't know why that bird just slammed into the window, and one of my grandkids were like, well, they were just tired and they didn't know how. I mean, just some of the things that they have said, where instead of it being dramatic, like, oh my God, the bird, and you know, you can make it all like a beautiful, and then we can celebrate the life of it and we can bury it together. Like we've done all the things, right? I'm sure like you have and many parents do, but making it a part of every day is just so many different messages come out. It just,
curiosity.
Yeah, just curiosity. So, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And like less fear, yes. A lot more trusting.
And I think it's important. Like one of the things that's been really important to me is for me to unhook from all the sources of fear that are out there. Not that I can't know what's going on in the world, but
it's
important to remember, like, I'm their safe space. And if I'm feeling and sensing all of those things, that they're going to pick up on that anyways. And I actually love when they ask a question and I don't know the answer, because we get a chance to explore and I get to model the fact that I don't know everything and that we can continue to learn at every age, and let's explore and figure it out together. Let's try, let's see what happens. Right. Yeah. I think there's been so much of, they ask a question, we have an answer. I'm like, I don't have all the answers. Let me be clear.
Right.
I do not have all the answers.
Right. And we should, never will sometimes, you know, but yeah. Let's tell me more.
Yeah.
Like you said, let's explore more. And
yeah,
and that's the beauty of it all, I think. Yeah. You know, while we're in this human experience, we're just in a human experience. It's not like there's just so much. It's so vast. We'll never know everything.
Exactly.
How do they know?
Right.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I said to my kids that I hope I don't ever know everything, because that would be really boring.
Yes.
Why would I be here? That would be so boring. I mean, there's days where I'd like to know a little bit more, but
sure.
But ultimately, it's a lot of fun to learn and to explore. And I think learning about ourselves, trusting ourselves, and really cultivating that from the start makes that more accessible for us to continue trusting and learning and growing, because we aren't looking outside of ourselves for those answers, but instead allowing that guidance system within us to say, yeah, I'm safe to not know the answer and to explore or try. And that feels really powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so empowering. I love that, Carrie.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I appreciate you being an amazing sounding board for me as I come up against all the wonderful learning experiences in this life. Is there anything else you'd like to share or say before we wrap up?
I'm just happy to be here. I just hope now that that, you know, while we are like living in a time where we realize that we're exhausted and we're getting a lot of information all the time, too much information all the time, that we do take the time to really play and pause, which is my favorite thing, that you've given me a sweet platform in the human array to, you know, offer a couple times a month, where maybe other parents, if they ever feel called, or anybody, you don't have to be a parent, anyone who's caregiving, just have a place to come in and have a great conversation. And it can be playful, and it doesn't matter what you bring that day, just to, you know, bring in that art of listening that we're all working on so much, so that we can be of service to others, which I always feel is why we're here, to, you know, and to mainly be just a stronger within the family unit too, just to really be a solid role model. Not because you have all the answers, but because you're very confident and compassionate and have a wonderful, you know, the virtues are there, and we are just elevating them. I don't know how else to say it, and bringing back what our beautiful ancestors and grandparents, I always love to think of how they lived, where things were a lot simpler. And I just think it's exciting to think that so many of us, I love watching everybody get more connected to their local farmers and their local small business owners, and really appreciating the craft that we've kind of lost, that the technology and has so many wonderful places, but bringing that craft back, because I think the kids want that.
Yeah.
I think the kids are really begging for more recess. Yes. You know, adults are begging for more recess. We want to work, you know, smarter, in less time. I don't think we were meant to work until the day of our last breath so hard that we don't remember anything light and lovely and playful.
Yeah. So I think you're so right.
That's it. I can always spend hours talking to you. Anytime. Anyone wants to talk about just something meaningful, I'm in.
Yeah.
Meaningful, you know, teach me, always learning. Love it. but I appreciate this time, Carrie, so much.
Thank you. I love everything you bring into this world and all the playfulness and compassion and joy that you're always seeking for yourself, but also how to bring it out of others. And that just makes the world a better place. So thank you.
Absolutely. Cheers to the human array. Thank you for bringing the humanness out of us.
Doing our best.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Lillian. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. We'll see you next time on the Great Connect podcast.